Lancelin, who was accused of violating a restraining order. We had a kind of a discussion of that from eyewitnesses Becky Johnson and Coral Broom on that issue. He's still in jail, last I heard. He's still been in jail all weekend. His crime was doing what the bailiff up at the juvenile hall told him to do, which is to sit down, I don't know, 100 yards away from this attorney who had gotten a restraining order against him. He hadn't been doing anything remarkably brutal or loud that day. He just, the attorney was trying to fuck with him, and apparently did. Attorneys can fuck with you pretty quickly, pretty easily, and apparently pretty successfully. Anyway, his case comes up tomorrow on Tuesday, 1 p.m. in Judge Kelly's court. Judge Kelly, Judge Tom Kelly, is the Führer of Courtroom 1 in downtown at the Hall of Justice, as some like to whimsically call it. So 1 o'clock tomorrow, if you show up there for the case of Patrick Lancelin, L-A-N-C-E-L-I-N, you can show him support, which says, you know, don't let somebody rot in jail because an attorney wants to put him there, and because he's got some pals among the judges.
Hey, look at this, Bob.
That's that man who isn't here. He's returned. The secret Food Not Bombs guy. We're not going to talk about him.
He's not here.
He's not here at all, actually. I'm sure that's not him.
You notice Clinton hasn't done anything about raising the minimum wage in his 3 years of office as the president. He said he was going to do it in his campaign, but he hasn't gotten it even off the ground yet. It's a total failure. How can people who are homeless out here working at, you know, Kmart or Walmart or Home Depot, making $4.25 an hour? Well, actually, maybe they get $5 in Santa Cruz, but you only get $4.25 up in Oakland and other places. How can they afford to buy or get an apartment? You know, that you can't even maintain an apartment in Santa Cruz on the minimum wage.
You know, that's the perennial question, and the question then is, if you can't maintain an apartment, are you supposed to be arrested if you're struggling for being in your car and trying to work things out that way? What about the many, many local Santa Cruzans who are homeless and just not, many of them not out of choice because of high rent, some of them out of choice, but hey, not certainly have any kind of destructive choice. It's a constructive choice, which they're choosing to consume less, use less, spend less. And their contributions are different than the kinds of contributions of those who live in houses. A couple of updates for you. I don't have the tapes, so I'm going to kind of have to do this as a sort of a summary overview. You may remember ID building manager Stuart Martin received some flack from me for assaulting a homeless man, calling all homeless people thieves, and generally slandering homeless people around Christmas when he attacked Chris and his girlfriend, young people, a guy who's often a panhandler across the street from the Cinema 9, who kind of couch surfs from time to time, who's also an artist, and who went in to buy a gift for his girlfriend and was confronted by Stuart Martin, who in essence called him a thief, and in essence specifically called him a thief, and then soon thereafter shoved him down the street. It was witnessed by Linda LeMaster. I recorded the man's interview. I ran across him the other day on the street. And Stuart Martin has recently gotten some favorable press as a man who saved the life of a drug user by giving her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. This at least was the claim in the letters column of the Sentinel. Good for you, Stuart. I'm glad. I'm always glad, of course, when anybody saves anybody's life. It's a good thing to do. It's, you know, and Stuart is an activist in his own way. And fortunately, he's usually an activist for the wrong things, like harassing homeless people and fighting for more homeless restrictions against poor people downtown. As far as I know from talking to the man he harassed and shoved and lied about and slandered, he hasn't apologized to this guy yet. And this guy is on the streets and is accessible to Mr. Martin. So I encourage people to continue to boycott the ID building, or to go into the ID building and ask him if he still feels that all homeless people are thieves. And if he does, take your change outside and spend it on the people who need it, deserve it, and on the stores that have more of a sense of what's really going on with humanity generally and homeless people specifically. I'm still looking for volunteers here at Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. That's the name of the show. And for HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, we need volunteers to make sure the shows hang together, to make sure that my tape recorder gets in here in the morning so you can actually hear other people than myself talking. We've got lots of interesting interviews, which unfortunately I can't play for you this morning because I haven't queued them up properly. It's my fault, but I need help, essentially, in doing this. Help! A lot of people need help around the issues of homeless struggles that are coming up with respect to the campground, with respect to discrimination downtown. Dan Hopkins is going to be putting up a table to encourage people to come to support his appeal and to support the right of homeless people to open-air shelter.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, Robert, this is John.
Hi, John.
I forgot to mention that you can, I forgot that you can cue tapes up on that thing under the boombox.
Uh-oh.
You reach up on top and push it to the CD land.
That's probably going to be useful information next show.
Okay, bye.
Thanks.
You get to see all our dirty laundry here as we struggle to, as I struggle to figure out what to do next. Broader issues of homelessness, incarceration, injustice in the society. I just got back from the north last night, and I stopped in Scotts Valley. And I met a man there, a man who works in Scotts Valley, who told me that he is facing a third strike. Third strike is for an act of alleged domestic violence, and he may well have done it, but from what he said, he did not. Who knows whether he did or didn't. But the first two strikes that he's going to be accused of violating are 25 years old, and they concern a burglary and a robbery, which were done without violence, where no one was hurt, according to what he had to say. So it looks like Art Danner and perhaps DAs throughout the country are using, I guess throughout the state in this case, are using this three strikes law again as a basis for beating people over the head so they'll essentially plea bargain to whatever is required. It's not good. It's not good at all. I'm going to have an interview on my next show, I hope, with a man in San Francisco who I met. Trying to remember his name. I don't remember it at the moment. He is a bizarre case where he had some drunk driving convictions, and drunk driving is no good thing. Don't believe for a minute I'm defending drunk driving. But he was put on probation for a drunk driving conviction, the third or the fourth, and admittedly that's pretty horrible. But he was then arrested for driving on a suspended license, right? Not drunk driving, but driving on a suspended license. And this is a very serious thing for a lot of poor people who cannot pay their vehicle costs, the fines that are suddenly levied upon them, bogus charges by courts. He went to jail for driving on a suspended license. He served 6 months. He was put on probation. He was 58 miles away from one point from his probation point, so he was sent back to jail for another 8 months, and he is now on parole for 16 months. All this stems from a suspended license conviction, and I'll be having an interview with him. Caller, do try and call again. I just missed you. You can call again, 427-3772. That's Free Radio Santa Cruz. And here you are.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Good morning, Robert.
Yes.
This is Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Hi. What were you saying there back? A couple of words about the... They're going against somebody for something that's 25 years old?
Right. The man is being charged with a third strike, a third felony for... the crime allegedly is I think it's battery or domestic violence, which is, as I said, not something I in any way approve of. I don't know whether he claims he didn't. He gave me a long story about that. But the relevant point is,
well,
the two previous strikes were burglary and robbery from 26 years ago.
So I guess I was wondering about if this was a formerly judged matter, like, or is this...
He'd been convicted.
The words I'm wondering about, and I'm dumb legally, are
crimes, apparently, back in the early 70s or late 60s, robbery and burglary. So the statute of limitations only applies if, as my understanding has it, and I'm not a lawyer either, if you haven't been tried for these cases, maybe you... And so, in other words, he was convicted, and so there's no statute of limitations at all. I mean, he isn't suffering anything because of these two cases, except that the three strikes law means if you've been convicted of two previous felonies, your third felony conviction means you go to jail for life.
Yeah, that's... it's just what the thing I'm feeling is that I felt mishandled in the institution at times, and the sentiment didn't seem to me that I could do anything legally about it. So so I kind of let it slide.
Right.
And so I kind of feel like justice wasn't done in my case because these, you know, horrors came upon me that I could do nothing. But there's this thing, even if I felt like now this statute of limitations thing is in my way, because now that maybe I feel strong enough to
respond to the injustices that were done to you.
Yeah, 20 years ago, what do I do?
Well, you know, a real good question, and I have no answer for you, except you can of course try to see if there's a legal kind of... You can always try a civil suit against whoever injured you, whether it was a prison or an individual or a bureaucrat, but as you point out, it may be beyond the statute of limitations. The other thing you can do is you can look at the situation for other people who were in your who are now in your position.
Yeah, sure.
And attempt to advise them so that your experience doesn't go to waste.
Yeah, that goes through the whole thing about, you know, writing about it and trying to get it through some competitive market and be heard and stuff, which is not...
We're
really
talking about it on the radio, you know, calling
sure.
talk shows, going to forums where the same issues are being raised. I mean, people are facing the same kinds of things you're talking about. You know, now, I'm not really sure what you're talking about, but I presume you're talking about some sort of abusive treatment in jail?
Yeah, that could be an instance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which I was, you know, I didn't know what to do because I figured what happened to me had to be in some way known by the law enforcement officials, and because it involved sexual abuse, it was not something I was, you know, I thought I'd get sliced from the other side.
Right.
Shit, you know, so
yeah.
So I let it slide, and I thought I'd actually sort of, my mind was thinking I'll be a good Christian about it and forgive the situation and go on from there. And, well, maybe that, whatever, in a simple way, helped.
Did that help?
Somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat. But then it's just, that's that side of it, and it doesn't really help me cope with seeing these things going on around me to other people. This is happening to, and it's you know, it's still a matter of fear for me. So even like, you're right, I'm talking about it, but I'm not feeling really comfortable about doing that even here.
Well, understandably, I mean you're talking about a subject that's normally very private, that has a stigma in our society. Both jail has a stigma, and sexual subjects have stigmas, and it's not something that's easy to talk about. And, you know, you have a perfect right to, you know, you might want to first discuss this at length with close friends or with people you trust, so that, you know, you can kind of work out your own feelings about it, you know.
I do, and, you know, I do. Although I have trouble doing that from the official therapeutic side of things, too.
But don't be, I'm not talking official therapy. I think that the problem, see, with a show like this is naturally we kind of cut to the heart of the thing and start asking about the issues. And I think it sounds like you want to kind of, you know, chew on this a bit more before you go into the details. And, of course, we also have only 6 minutes left.
Well, plus,
here,
plus simply deal with the fact that I've abandoned this thing in the eyes of official justice because it's just I've run out of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah, I know, and I, the reason I'm calling is because one way or another, you are just talking about people that have had experiences like me that don't want to be exposed about it, but want to be taken care of and seen. You know, we've been hit.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for your time.
Sure. No. Feel free to, you know, to call back. And again, you know, I
have the Huff number too.
You got the Huff number. Give me a call there if you want to talk more about this. You know, and particularly if you think that you have something you could kind of put out there that you think would be helpful for other people in terms of your experiences.
All right.
Thanks, Brad.
So, indeed, it's Bathrobosphere's Broadsides, your curbside therapist, as well as your ongoing historian, activist, and all-around good guy. I'm Robert Norris. We got 5 minutes left on the show. I do appreciate your calls, and I make light of some things, but these are very serious subjects. When you get hurt, and you got to find a way to heal on that and to help others not get hurt.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hey, can we go off there for 1 minute?
How about in 5 minutes when the show is over?
Okay.
All right, I'll call you back.
Do call back. Actually, I'll call that caller back in about 10 minutes. I got your number right here, but I was just looking at it a moment ago. We are going to also do an update on the Food Not Bombs situation. And the Food Not Bombs update is that the Saturday meal didn't happen because of miscommunication as to schedule and arrangement with an indoor kitchen and lack of volunteers. Hey, guys, Food Not Bombs needs your help. Sunday, however, went pretty well with several volunteers participating, and a very good meal was put out according to this secret missive I've just received here. Food Not Bombs needs your help, as I said, 425-3345. That's the group, one of the two groups, locally at least, that feed people and do so kind of in a combination on a daily basis. There's a Food Not Bombs meeting this evening, in fact, Monday, February 19th at around 7 p.m. at Pergolisi's on Elm and Cedar Streets. And if you're interested in Food Not Bombs, come to the meeting, or you can call the voicemail at 425-3345 in case you can't make the meeting or hate meetings, for that matter. And you can find out at that number where to go directly to the kitchens to help prepare the food on those days when Food Not Bombs prepares food, which is Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I believe. And you can also, of course, help Feed the People if you want. Feed the People shows up Mondays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at least downtown at Cathcart and Pacific. I don't have their number here. Actually, I think it's 425-FEED. Thank you, Sam, I am. 425-FEED for Feed the People, 425-3345 for Food Not Bombs. Large contributions to me can be given to 423-HUFF. How about you, Michael? You want to say something?
I'm a happy frog. We had 4 inches of rain last night and some today on Dead President's Day. And a lot of the refugees out in Henry Kyle Park are jumping around from puddle to puddle, jumping over them, jumping around them, jumping in them. The puppies playing in them. We got worms coming out our ears. They're coming out of the ground like crazy from all the water. And for all those people down at the River Street and down around the Armory and with no place to go, well, we're wet, but it doesn't make us sad, you know? You guys are in the program. You're all wet. The program's all wet. And it's kind of sad that you don't have a tent to go to or a place you can get out of this rain and the cold. So I guess that's why you're hanging around and creeping around the shadows and the concrete buildings and corners and little alleyways of Santa Cruz today, wondering what's going to happen next. You know, well, the program won't save you. So maybe you ought to think about it. At least you can identify with the frogs. Frogs will sing for you in the rain. And water won't hurt you. Earth is our friend.
There you have it, the latest rabble-rousing from Michael Sheridan out at the River Street Refugees. And Sam, I have any comments?
He did good. I'm going today. Hey, when can we get some of these nifty stickers, man?
We need nifty stickers there, all you people listening in. If you have any free radio stickers you wish to donate, Sam, I am, is very interested, and hopefully we'll...
I accept cash,
He
too.
Accepts cash, and no doubt hugs as well. At least I accept hugs. Also, a note regarding the incident with the host, John Behrens, when he pepper-gassed D-Bob. D-Bob has given me a note that he's hopeful of a peaceful resolution in the works outside the court, and he wants to drop any vendettas against John, the host. Feels that this is best for us and the community. So that's the word from D-Bob on the issue of pepper-gassing. That's not my word, by the way, and I'm not talking vendettas. I'm talking about public safety for poor people on the streets. I don't want untrained people walking around harassing people and then getting concerned when people express hostility and responding to that concern with pepper gas. Definitely not a good idea. Bathroom Stereo's broadsides, I think, is soon to end because I hear voices outside the studio. You have my profoundest apologies that we haven't gotten in more nummies, like we did a great interview with John Malkin. And John Malkin is a Citizens Police Review Board commissioner. He had lots to say, lots that I thought was quite pertinent. There's lots of stuff coming up week from tomorrow. That's Tuesday the 27th at 8:15 in the morning. The Social Services Subcommittee of City Council is meeting in the city manager's conference room, I believe it is. That's the subcommittee headed by our own mayor, Mike Rotkin, the guy who killed the River Street, Coral Street campground, along with a few other politicians and bureaucrats. He's meeting to consider how much more money to throw at the very people who killed that campground, Daryl Darling, and I guess Citizens Committee for the Homeless Community House Project. That's going to be 8:15 a.m. Tuesday, February 27th. Then at noon, the question of shall the police be able to drop complaints down a dark hole if they want to call them inquiries by changing the language? Should the police be able to ignore the kind of underreporting of complaints that happened this summer? Chief Belcher says yes, apparently. He's pushing for that. But the Citizens Police Review Board is looking into it, and you can help them look into it. Show up at noon on Tuesday the 27th, that's a week from tomorrow, at the second floor of the library. They will continue their inquest into the whole situation. Then at 3:30, and again, I've got a problem here because I don't know whether it's 3:30 or 7. There is a city council meeting which will be considering Dan Hopkins' appeal of the permits for Community House, the Trailers Not Trolls project that slew the open-air shelter, the only legal campground for homeless people in the country. And you wonder why people are out in the rain? It's because they're not in the campground. And according to the deal made by Daryl Darling and Paul Merceau on November 29th, there should be tents sitting on the Coral Street open-air shelter property right now for anybody who wants to be out of that rain. They made a deal to keep the campground open until 10 days after Community House permits were granted. Well, those permits will not be granted at the earliest until the 27th, when Dan Hopkins' appeal is heard, so it won't be until March 8th or 9th, I guess 7th or 8th, because we got a leap year this year, and it's going to be 29 days in February. Not until that day will the campground revert properly to the legal, its no man's land status that it currently is in. So, hey, jump the fence and pitch your tents, guys. Admittedly, it's not much to look at, but it may be all you've got at the moment. Anyway, that's happening all on Tuesday, February 27th. And finally, to top off this obscenity, there is the curfew. Supervisors will also be meeting on that date, and they will be discussing, reading again, this curfew law, which makes it illegal for people to tarry, if you're under 18, after 11 o'clock at night outside. And that's going to be coming down the pike, coming right down into your house, coming into your... Actually, you won't have a house. If you're in your house, you're okay. It'll be coming into your street if you're in the county. It'll affect everybody outside city limits in the county of Santa Cruz who's under 18 or who looks under 18. Hopefully next time we're going to have an interview with Keith McHenry, who's perennial monkey wrencher and food server and police outwitter up in San Francisco. He's gotten off probation, and he's no longer on probation for the bogus felonies that he pled to a year ago. This is when, of course, he was giving away flyers in the Board of Supervisors City Hall area in San Francisco, and one of the supervisor's secretaries slammed the door on him in order to protect the glass door from hitting an older man. He held out his arm, and the door struck him and damaged his arm. And he was accused of a felony assault with flying glass, namely holding out his arm so as to protect the man, stopping the door from hitting him, and the door broke, and the glass then was allegedly a lethal weapon, which then was going out at the secretary because it broke on Keith's arm. Anyway, he's off parole or off probation for this, and I'm going to be off the air because it's time for me to leave. I want to thank you for bearing with this somewhat chaotic session of Bathrob Spears Broadsides. We are a twice-weekly show. We concern ourselves with homeless rights in Santa Cruz. We happen twice a week, Mondays and Fridays at 10 o'clock to noon. If you want to come to this show and be on the air, show up at Taco Bell, 9:45 on Mondays or Fridays in the morning. That's Taco Bell in downtown Santa Cruz at Laurel and Pacific. If you want to be on the air but you can't be there and you want something read on the air or you want something, some kind of tape played on the air, give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833. That's the headquarters for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom and my headquarters. You can leave a message of any length, and provided it's relevant to the topics at hand, I will put it on the air for you. Do tune in. We're going to be continuing the show. We'll have leftover stuff and new stuff on Friday. And now I want to introduce our next DJ who's coming on, the man with the new hairdo.
What's up, Santa Cruz? This is Sly. Hold on a few minutes.
Thank you.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça, ela menina que vem e que passa, um doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.